With God's help, I desire that we would turn together to read from the prophet Micah, chapter 7. As you're turning, Prophet Micah writes to the children of Israel, and in the first few chapters, he speaks of their sin that they needed to repent of. And in chapters 4 and 5, he brings prophecies of the victory that the Lord would win and overcoming in Jesus' first coming and his second coming. In the sixth chapter, he gives a very personal appeal to the people, pleading with them to return, and even tells them how to return. And we'll read the last chapter together in this prophecy. Micah chapter 7. Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleanings of the vintage. There is no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first ripe fruit. The good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asketh, and the judge asketh for reward, and the great man, he uttereth his mischievous desire, so they wrap it up. The best of them is as a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchmen and thy visitation cometh. Now shall be their perplexity. Trust ye not in a friend. Put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father, the daughter riseth up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. Therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord, because I have sinned against him. Until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me, he will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. Then she that is mine enemy shall see it, and shame shall cover her which said unto me, Where is the Lord thy God? Mine eyes shall behold her. Now shall she be trodden down as the mire of the streets. In the day that thy walls are to be built, in that day shall the decree be far removed. In that day also he shall come, even to thee from Assyria, and from the fortified cities, and from the fortress, even to the river, and from sea to sea, and from mountain to mountain. Notwithstanding, the land shall be desolate because of them that dwell therein, for the fruit of their doings. Feed thy people with thy rod, the flock of thine heritage, which dwell solitarily in the wood, in the midst of Carmel. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead as in the days of old. According to the days of thy coming out of the land of Egypt, will I show unto him marvelous things. The nations shall see and be confounded at all their might. They shall lay their hand upon their mouth. Their ears shall be deaf. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall move out of their holes like worms of the earth. They shall be afraid of the Lord our God, and shall fear because of thee. Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob, and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. We all bow before the Lord in prayer. The Lord often sent prophets to the children of Israel when they were going astray, when they were leaving the ways of the Lord, and God had promised that when they do that, there would be desolation, both spiritually and physically, for the people. And Micah is reflecting on the condition of the land and his people, and he is so distressed. And he expresses a longing that he is feeling as he looks about him and sees the effects of the idolatry of trusting in other nations for safety rather than trusting in God. And there's a hunger and a longing that he describes. We have all felt this type of longing. He describes it as the time after the harvest had been gathered in. You can imagine an orchard or a vineyard filled with the fruits that are your favorite, and having the luxury and pleasure of being able to walk out, pick one, and enjoy the juicy fruit. But after the harvest, when everything is taken in, the trees are barren, and there's nothing left. Everything is sold or put into storage, and it's not like the fresh fruit. It's not like it was before. And we've all experienced this longing because all have at one time or another been deceived by sin. At one time, so enjoyable, but the end thereof is death, and longing, and emptiness, lack of satisfaction. It is not this way with following Jesus Christ, though. He is the one who said that God knows all of our needs and will provide, as he does for the sparrows, as for the lilies of the field. God knows our needs and will provide. We will not have need of hunger. Apostle Paul told Timothy, godliness with contentment is great gain. There's great gain to be had in godliness and following Jesus Christ with contentment. Where we do not need to pursue the empty pleasures of sin, but we have all we need. Because as also Paul said, told the churches, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, our Lord, the bread that came from heaven, the living water. It is not the way of sin with him. There is no regret or lack of satisfaction in following Jesus. He always keeps his promises, unlike the enemy of our soul and the sin that he tempts us with that leaves us empty and dry and longing. Micah goes on for a few more verses, speaking in more detail about what he was seeing. That there were no more good men, just, fair, equitable, righteous. There were leaders who were corrupt, judges who were unjust and seeking bribes and wanting to hide it all. There were families that were hurting each other. And there's a breakdown of trust among those who were supposed to be closest. Sounds a lot like 2020. And we can relate to the deceitfulness of sin. Because it all started with somebody who had a good idea that we just want a better crop this year. And so let's take an idol and worship it. It doesn't hurt anybody. Besides, if we have a bigger crop, maybe we can give more to the Lord when the feasts come around. But slowly but surely, that desire, that lust that was within them, spilled over into other parts of their lives. And as sin always does, it takes us farther than we wanted to go. We just wanted to get a little bit better crop, and so we serve this rain god or other pleasure, but they got a whole lot more than they were expecting. Families, the country was ripping itself in pieces because everyone was looking out for their own good. And Micah says, under these circumstances, trust ye not in a friend. Put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep thy doors from the mouth of her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father. The daughter riseth up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. How sad the breakdown of trust that had occurred. And yet Jesus quotes from this verse when speaking about the effects of the kingdom of God and how it stands opposed to this kingdom of this world. And people will need to decide where they stand. And this difference between these kingdoms would require some separation when he said these very words. But did Jesus' teachings bring about this separation and this breakdown of trust and these terrible consequences? What changed and who moved that caused this division? Jesus didn't cause this. We moved. It was our sin that causes the separation, the breakdown of trust, that causes sin to go a little bit farther and a little bit farther. But it was God who offered a way that the things that were broken down, that relationship between us and God, and us with each other, that that might be healed and restored. The way that the world goes and the way that human nature goes is towards destruction. But God and His ways is guiding us toward healing. To restore that connection and that love with the Lord. Not to be alienated and separated from Him or from one another. Micah says, therefore, because of what he is seeing, because of the breakdown of that trust and the longing that exists in the world that he lives in, he's experienced this and he's reflected on this and he said, yes, this is true. This is what happens. Even when I was deceived by sin, it left me longing. And so Micah says, therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. We read in Psalm 145 about God hearing the prayer and how needful it would be that the Lord would hear our prayers. When there is no one else to turn to in this world, where truth and trust are fleeting. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, David says in Psalm 145. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever. What a refuge Micah has found. What a treasure he has found in the Lord in the midst of the empty bottles that never satisfied. Empty pages of books that never filled his soul. He turns unto the Lord. And this is our instruction. Turn unto the Lord. Wait for him. And wait for him to respond. He will hear. Micah then shares a personal and possibly painful experience, a difficult trial that he goes through, where his enemies, and even a woman that he mentions, speak against him, speak evil of the Lord, when he is being tried. Micah knows that God's judgment is coming. And he needs to decide, what will he do? Maybe he could run away and find somewhere where he could find some comfort for himself. Maybe he could escape all of the stress, the anxiety, the judgment that is coming in some way. Do people do that today? Do they look for a little break, a little escape? What do they find when they come back? Did anything change? Micah teaches us the way to respond In times of trial, such that we do receive satisfaction. He says, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me." Here is his decision. I will bear the indignation of the Lord. Because I have sinned against him. Every escape that man puts together to avoid the pain and the disappointment of sin and the emptiness that it leaves us with, it is trying to get away from the consequences that come from our sin. But Micah says, I will bear the indignation of the Lord. In this, he is agreeing with God. What God has said would come as a result of sin is right, and I deserve it. And I'll receive it because it's just. This is not running away to more sin to cover up. This is repentance and confession. He is confessing his sin. He is recognizing that God is right for judging him and that he deserves it. But then he continues and he says, until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me, he will bring me forth to the light and I shall behold his righteousness. He is waiting on God to relieve him. He is not looking for a way out and away from God, but he is drawing his heart to God, to his ways, acknowledging that God is right, and trusting God that he will relieve him in his time. There's nothing that we can do of our own strength to escape the judgments of Almighty God. We must, in faith and trust, commit ourselves unto the Lord, that he would plead our cause, that he would be our advocate. And Jesus Christ truly is that advocate. Truly, he was the one that went to the cross for us to bear that judgment and that pain so that we could be brought to the light. But you see what it takes? It takes a faith and a belief. It takes repentance and confession of sin. Those things of themselves and our actions don't provide the deliverance. God provides the deliverance because he has promised he would. Do we trust him? Do we find him faithful? Would we do everything he has asked? And then wait upon him for his perfect timing, when we can be released, when we can be relieved. He will provide that deliverance. He has promised it. And that is faith in action. And I believe this faith and trust in God is going to be so needful if in our lifetime persecution should arise. Because we can hear the voices of those that would mock believers for staying committed to the Lord in when there's opportunities to maybe be a little bit less strict, maybe be a little bit less faithful, and life could be a lot easier for you. As he says, where is the Lord thy God? Oh, Christian, you say God loves you so much. Well, why aren't you enjoying your life? Where is your God? Will we listen to the questioner? Or will we say, through it all, whatever God will lead me through, He's given me his word. I'll follow him. I'll trust him. And even if I don't see deliverance in this life, there will be a deliverance for our eternal soul and our resurrected body that will be with him forever. And on that day, those who mocked God, those who spit on him and took his word and hid it away instead of hiding it in their hearts, they will be ashamed. Where do we want to be? Micah gives us a beautiful example of steadfastness, of holding on to faith in the Word of God and to God's promises that are sure. And many of the people that were hearing these words might have had to go through that time of captivity, time of struggle, time of trial, time of judgment. Would they go and mix with the world and lose their faith? Or would they hold true and pass their faith along to their children? Micah, as it were, says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." His trust is in God, even when there's nothing that he can see or he can feel to give him the support for his mind and his body. But God was holding him up. We know and believe that because God promises that to those that are faithful to him. So we go from a situation of no trust to Micah's example of full trust and full surrender. And it's a great contrast, and it is a great gift that the Lord has given us, that we can hear his word and we can follow him. Among all of this turmoil, among all of this oppression and hardship, there are a few verses here at the end of the chapter that shine. They shine in glory and beauty because they foretell of the hope that God had placed into the hearts of all of the faithful. When you look at your problems, when you look at the world around you and the instability and the lack of satisfaction and the lack of trust, it seems, as it were, overwhelming, like a giant wave. But in faith, in following Jesus Christ, we have a question to ask that puts all of those things to rest. Who is a God like unto thee? When we compare our problems and those who oppress us or mock us, how small they are when we consider who is a God like unto thee. And who else but our Lord will pardon iniquity, pass by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities and will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. This is written before the captivity comes. And even before the captivity comes, Micah's hope is in God's deliverance. And he takes that hope, he draws that hope from the promises God had made to Abraham. Back in Genesis, God promised Abraham that he would bring him into a land and that would be an inheritance for his people, and that he would have a son, and that he would have nations come from him. And these things happened, and we see the fulfillment of these things even in Micah's day. But there was another blessing and promise, a blessing that would come through Abraham to all nations of the earth. He said, "All nations of the earth through thee shall be blessed." And the Jews, they took great, at least Micah and those that were faithful, took great comfort and solace and trust to know that God would visit his people and bless them. That God would come in his promise and fulfill his word to them. And we see an application here that Israel knew that they would come out of that captivity. God would bring them back. But the promise that was to be fulfilled is Jesus Christ, a blessing that would go forth to all nations. And so we too can say with great joy, "Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage?" And isn't it funny? It's not funny, but the breakdown of trust that sin brought. How can we enter in to the promise of God but by trust and faith in Jesus Christ? We can be part of God's family. We can receive the forgiveness of sins and know God, have confidence in him that he will redeem us. He will raise us up at the last day. That we can be cleansed. We can be satisfied. And this was the hope that even as we read this morning, Zechariah, through the Spirit, he talked about God performing the truth and fulfilling the promises that he had made to the fathers. It had come in Jesus Christ. That is where we find forgiveness. That is where we find our home. May we each have a yearning to grow in that trust, that childlike trust in the Lord. And to see him in his glory, in his delight of mercy, that we would be thankful to him, that we would love him with all of our heart. May God bless his word. Amen.